As we have heard from the wisdom of the children, the group gathered in Acts 2 experienced what is considered the birthday of the church, and therefore is rightly and properly celebrated with birthday cake, red velvet cake, naturally. I am of the conviction that there should be liturgically colored cake for every season of the year. Third Sunday of July cake. I mean, like, why not? Why aren't we doing this every week? So this is the day when we consider the church begins. Before this, in the book of Acts, there's a small group of disciples looking on as the resurrected Jesus departs from them in the ascension. There are others, dozens, maybe hundreds of others who are inspired by Jesus, who followed him, mourned his death, received an appearance of his resurrection, and have had their lives changed by him. One of them, Matthias, was chosen to be the 12th apostle to replace Judas. And then they waited. They waited in Jerusalem as Jesus had instructed them. They weren't yet a church. They weren't even known yet as Christians. They were a Jesus movement with a Jesus mission, but they weren't yet moving and they weren't on mission. They didn't know who they were or what God wanted from them, but they were obedient and they were ready. They were all together in one place for Pentecost, which was a major Jewish festival celebrating the giving of the covenant at Sinai. And so it was at this moment with these people on this occasion at this place that the church is born. What happened becomes a primary and originating identity marker for the movement and mission of the church, which is born that day. If God could have done anything that day, what did God do and what does it mean for the ongoing life of the church? Well, the first and most dramatic thing is that the Holy Spirit comes to the people gathered together in one place. There is a meeting of God and people and place. Heaven meets earth. God is with you. The Bible speaks of the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in a variety of ways, but this one is foundational. The Spirit is a gift of God, is God, and is with you. The life of the church isn't just a memorial society only for something that happened in the past. The place the church gathers isn't just a museum to hold ancient relics. The people of the church aren't just individuals sharing the same oxygen. The place is holy ground. The people are the people of God, and the life is an ongoing life with God and with one another. We don't miss the point. They were all together in one place, and to them from heaven comes the Holy Spirit. And this leads directly into the second primary identity of the church, relationship with God through the Spirit. The experience they had changes their relationship with God. God is not just mediated to you by priests and an occasional visit to the temple. God is radically with you when you are gathered with others in his name. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, says Jesus. The fire that once burned at the burning bush, the fire that once burned on Mount Sinai for Moses now rests as tongues of flame upon each of them. Peter will eventually speak, but his speech and all Christian speech is a response to the work of the Holy Spirit, not its condition. Peter doesn't summon the Spirit nor control it. He simply stands, stunned at the goodness of God and the power of the Spirit they all experienced. Our speech, whether it is our songs, our confessions, prayers, preaching, witnessing, blessing, greeting. All Christian speech is unleashed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, like a fire burning in your bones. The Spirit divinely sparks speaking and listening. Before Peter stands up to address the whole crowd, they're all speaking. Who are they speaking to? Who are they listening to? God, obviously, but also one another. Their speech to and with one another wasn't a prelude to their worship. It was also worship. It wasn't a distraction from the Holy Spirit's work. It was enabled by the Spirit. Life in the church, life in God, is life with God and life with and shared with others in the community. I've been in worship settings before. It's been a long time, but where I've heard it said, imagine that there's a circle drawn around you. Draw a mental circle around you, and as you worship, consider it's just you and God. That's okay, I guess. It has its purpose to help us if we are helplessly distracted. Goodness knows our minds are factories of distraction and noise. And if we're worried about what other people might think about us or whether they're judging us, it can be a helpful prompt to relish intimacy of God with us. So there's something to it. The closest I come to that sort of thing these days is through a set of headphones I bought a few years ago. Not for church, but for flying on airplanes. And I stow my bag, and I squeeze into my seat, usually back in row 36. I try not to knock my teeth out with my own knees, and then I put those headphones over my ears. And there's a button on them called noise canceling. And it does what it says it does. At the push of this little button, the engine roar becomes quiet. The baby crying two rows back, sweet little angel. The guy snoring next to me, get your beauty rest, fella. It's like a wonderful world, a little cocoon. I don't even hear instructions for how to fasten my seatbelt that I already have fastened. Flying with this little thing is not so bad after all. And it's not just the canceled noise. I'll play music on my phone to listen through these magical headphones. And usually it's a song that I've heard before driving down the road in town playing in the background. But through these headphones, whole new dimensions of sound open up. I hear a bass guitar line I hadn't noticed before. And a jazz song. I hear Coltrane's trumpet with a clarity I hadn't heard. I'm able to listen to the music the way I suppose it was supposed to be heard when it was composed, and when the band gathered in the studio, and the sound engineer mixed the tracks and sculpted the frequencies and balanced the levels. When the noise is canceled, I'm able to hear the music. Now that sounds like something worth paying attention to. When noise is quieted, we're able to truly listen. For the gathered church, this experience of listening doesn't come through self-isolating in circles of private individuality. That's for airplanes. For church, the gift of listening and being listened to is a gift of the Spirit given to one another, a gift that can penetrate all the noise and all the distractions to a gift that opens us up to new dimensions of sound and relationship we didn't know possible. The first moments of the church's worship on Pentecost were a combination of individual and communal. Each had a tongue of fire resting on their head, and they spoke to and listened to one another. Most of the description is about how they were able to speak to one another and listen to one another in the Spirit. The church wasn't just going to be a collection of individuals in relationship with Jesus who happened to be in the same place in the same time. At Pentecost, it's, see, there's a circle drawn around you and your neighbor and your other neighbor and the foreigner over there and the person you're not too sure about and the person you think you're very sure about but in a bad way and the stranger that you haven't met yet. Parthians and Medes, Egyptians and Libyans, Cretans and Arabians, and on from day one, from the very beginning, God was going to bring into an existence a very different kind of community in the world, in the name of Jesus, a kind of community the world had never seen before. And this leads directly to a third identity of the church born that day. God is with you in the Spirit. Our speech and listening unleash relationship, and through them, bridges are built. Cyril of Alexandria, one of the church's fathers, wrote about this. He said, this was the first and enduring gift of the Holy Spirit. After Christ had completed his mission on earth, it still remained necessary for us to become sharers and the divine nature of the Word of God. We had to give up our own life and be so transformed that we would begin to live an entirely new kind of life that would be pleasing to God. This was something we could only do by sharing in the Holy Spirit. When the time came for Christ to ascend to the Heavenly Father, it was necessary for him to be united through his Spirit to those who worshiped him and to dwell in our hearts through faith. So the church that day was born as a Holy Spirit inflamed community who experienced the gift of bridges in the place of barriers. While Christ was on earth, the single important thing for a disciple to do was to listen to him. A voice from heaven says this to the disciples at the Transfiguration. This is my son. Listen to him. As long as Christ was with them in the flesh, it must have seemed to believers that they possessed every blessing in him. Listen to him teach about the kingdom of God. Listen to his wisdom. Listen to him transform the religious professionals who are willing to be transformed. Listen to him challenge the rule and logic of empire. Listen to him pray. And now, the presence of the risen Christ through the power of the Spirit is with the gathered community. It's as if his word becomes, listen to one another, and through them, hear me. Where there have been barriers, now you will be bridges. This is the character of the church in the world. They don't just build bridges or walk over bridges. They are bridges for the world to cross its barriers. There have always been walls to one another, fences to beloved community, blockades to friendship, hindrances to love, towers of Babel to topple. You are the bridge. We participate in this bridging work of the Spirit through contemplative listening. Contemplative listening is listening for God's word and God's truth in the words of another and beyond their words. It's listening to what another person is saying and what's behind and beyond what they're saying. It's paying attention and asking the Spirit to come again and help draw the circles, larger circles around you, so you can truly hear the Word of God together with and through one another. The church isn't just a group of individuals pointed to God. It's that. But it's also people pointed toward one another in a transformed way in God. And this is a work of grace, and a work of the Spirit, and a work of our compassion and desire to care for and love others. But at its end, and its highest aspiration, it is the work of God through the Spirit. And this is the gift of Pentecost for them and for today. May the Spirit be unleashed among us. May we have the gift of speech and the gift of listening that burns in our bones. And may we become bridges by which God's desire for beloved community is born in us and through us by His name. Amen.